The sports card industry has grown at a wild pace, reaching close to $13 billion in 2021, and experts believe it will reach $49 billion by the year 2032. My name is Jeremy Lee, and if you'd like to learn more through the experiences of lifelong veterans, industry titans, and the critical thinkers who bring meaning to these historical artifacts, tune into my podcast, Sports Cards Live, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Oh, are you catching all this?
Oh, yeah.
Shit. Oh, fuck. Welcome back to the show. Here with Andrew Santino.
Have these been disinfected at all, dude?
Since when? I don't wear headphones,
are these
man.
Mics disinfected, dude?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Whoa, Omicron, table for one.
I gotta tell you. Do we need to shut these blinds? Good. How do I look?
Look fucking great. I like you with a
kind of fat
with that, a leafy backdrop.
Are you doing it from here all the time now?
I don't think you've ever been fat. You always have been an in shape guy to me.
I've always been working on it, but boy, oh boy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Four Loko and meth. Meth.
Drink up.
When Tuesday needs to feel like a Friday.
Honestly, is that meth?
Yeah.
Water or a Celsius?
What's a Celsius? What is that?
It's basically just like a, remember the pimp juice, Nelly's pimp juice?
Yeah.
It's that, but it's without Nelly attached.
Okay, so is there like...
It's an energy drink.
Yeah, I can't have that. I'll just take a regular...
Liquid death.
I mean...
regular. Thank you. What an aggressive title. Mountain liquid death. But if you are going to make a splash in the water game, your name of your beverage has to be like, you know, God's piss.
God's piss.
Satan's jizz. What? That's water?
And there's a face melting on it.
Yeah! I mean, they've made water.
Oh, these guys? Are they cool?
Hardcore.
Are these guys cool?
They're very cool.
They're very nice guys?
They're Swedish, I think. Right? Or the water's from Sweden. They're from like Burbank.
I see this Oliver Peoples sign out the window. I know his son. Shout out to Garrett Light. If you're ever on La Brea, go to GarrettLight.com. Well, you can go to the website if you're on La Brea.
What does he do?
I wouldn't do that while I'm driving. He has a shop there called Garrett Light Eyewear Company. And it's on the right-hand side. It's on the western side of the street, and he makes amazing glasses. And I'm not promoing him, but I really like his shit. I met him through a friend of a friend. And then I learned that Oliver Peoples was, I think it's his dad. Good guy to have as a... Is that guy still here that's over there? What's that guy's name again?
Lee. It's good to know a couple Lees.
I think that guy owes me money.
Probably. He's got a face of a guy that owes you something.
I went to give him a pound and he went to shake my hand and I was like, You owe me fucking money. You know when you do that? When somebody, like
when someone holds out. Wait.
You saw, okay, I did it first.
What'd you do? You opened with fist?
I went like this, hey man. And he went to shake my hand and I was like.
And he held the hand?
You fucking owe me money.
Also, everyone should assume fist. Oh, wait, hand is more work. Just do that. Get it done with.
I got to tell you something. Howie Mandel was ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
I like shaking a guy's hand, but it's situation dependent.
Yes.
I shake your hand after we play a round of golf. I give you a nice, my man. I shake your hand if it's a business thing, like thank you so much.
Yes. That'll
we'll
never go
be
away.
Expecting the check soon.
Yeah.
I shake your hand if I shake your hand after you've given me a rub and tug. You know, when they're done, they snap it off and I shake their hand. I say thank you very much. I shake your hand. We get into a fender bender. You hit my car.
You exchange the
information
info.
And then have a nice day.
Yeah.
I see somebody that I don't really know that well. It's
hey man, you're getting the bump.
You're getting the bump.
You're getting a couple of knuckles because that's all I know you for.
What did I do? I hug you. I don't know him that well. I'm sure he's a great guy. But when I went out to bump him and he put the hand and he did this thing.
It's a power move.
Which I'm not going to lie. I'll be honest with you. And I don't know if your fans are going to like this, but the way that his hand was out, he was like this at first and then turned it. And I don't think he thinks I saw it, but I saw it.
Can I be honest? I saw it too.
He went like this. He went like that fast.
And there was
it was such a quick.
It wasn't so much the about to be Nazi salute. It was the swastika T-shirt that he was wearing that made me go.
That's what that symbol was. I didn't know what that was.
A lot of people confuse it with the Orion from Neverending Story.
I thought it was
a swast, baby.
I go, what is that? Is that a Mercedes Benz shirt? And kind of. If we're being honest,
it's a little too
shirt.
Resemblant.
It's also there. Mercedes made cars for the Nazis.
How long do you think it?
You don't know that the Mercedes made cars for the Nazis? You know this, right? They're like notorious.
I thought they like bought Jamba Juice or something in the 80s.
They did. But Jamba Juice.
Oh, God, don't say it.
You want me to get deep with Jamba Juice?
Yeah.
I'm so conspiratorial.
They wouldn't have changed it to Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice, yeah. Or Jumpa Jew, which Jumpa Jew was their street campaign to take out Jewish people. Jamba Jew. And then it got,
and everyone was like, you mean Jamba Juice? And they go, yes.
Yes, of course. That's what we mean. Yes, Jamba the Juice. And you're like,
Something fishy going on here.
Because something, you know, I learned this the other day. The game of telephone or the idea of telephone that is passed down through how things have gotten torn away from their original meaning.
Yeah.
We were listening to a song in the patio. My boy Corey was like, what's that fucking instrument called? That's like, and you do it with your mouth.
Harmonica.
No. Mm. It's a little, you know what I'm talking about. You like prick it a little bit. And I was like, I don't know what that's called, a mouth harmonica or a mouth something. And we looked it up. I'm not kidding. You can look it up. It's called a Jew harp. I'm not making a podcast joke.
Get the fuck out.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
If there's one thing I told Andrew when he comes over, don't say the two words that trigger me most, Jew and harp. And he put them together in some made-up Nazi instrument. And he's coming back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Santino, fresh off his offensive tour.
No, it's really called a Jew harp. You can look it up. It's called the Jew harp. And I looked up the etymology of why that's called that. Obviously, it was like, this has nothing to do with Jewish people at all.
Yeah, of course.
It's a French word, I believe. It's like, je joué. Damn, dude, you got to do it.
I feel like it's
if
a
you
thing.
Literally Wikipedia Jew harp, you'll see. And then the etymology literally says has zero to do with
they
Jewish
go out of
people.
Their way to tell you that.
Well, yeah,
is...
because it's so strange that it's called that. And you're like, what is does this?
Also, the harp doesn't feel with... like a Jew instrument. Like, we play a lot of clarinet, a lot of sax.
Yeah, like you guys' instrument, do you see it down there on Jew harp? Yeah. It's
we're a woodwind family.
Yeah, like if you guys are going to play an instrument, it's going to be like a cash register. It's like cha-ching, cha-ching, you know, that sound.
It's very funny. It's
or like a piggy funny. Bank. What does it say the etymology of Jew harp is? Why does it say?
Cash register.
Nothing to do with Jews, see? And it says down there, that's derived from a French word. Mm. God, I wish I, because I like to read into the etymology of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with it. Like, I really, dude, I've done this.
Do you love
fun.
History in general?
It's interesting. I love snippets of history that I'm interested in, but when someone goes, do you know a lot about history? I don't.
Mm.
Like George Washington crossing the crossing the fucking on the street. Boat, the famous picture road. Of him.
I don't know. Oh, the
forging the fucking
cross the
See, do you understand what I'm saying right now? Neither of us know. Crossing
there it
the
is.
Delaware.
Yeah.
Very important moment in history.
Yeah.
I literally have zero idea what that is.
And why he did it.
I don't know why. I think it's important.
There's a picture of it forever.
I know. But I'm what?
First surprise attack.
That's right.
Wow, that is a big deal.
But like, but am I interested in history? Yeah, very specific points in history. I'm like,
there's also now
fascinated.
There's never been a time where it's more accessible. If you truly go,
I know.
Oh, this little thing, like, oh, I wish I could. I mean, fuck it. 20 years ago, we had to just do a deep dive into the books.
The books, dude. You had to read books. Now we have the interweb, and you can find out anything. But you can also
we're stupider because of it.
Yeah,
more info, but less.
I did learn that you can. You can. Wish it, you can will it through the internet. Like, this is a good example. Any, you can put a date or like a month or time a year, and then something that you want it to be associated with, an article will be fabricated. It will just come up, right? Like you could say like, I was trying to, like Bobby and I had done this one time on there, like, Korean chef, like if he was like there's this famous Korean chef and write, you know, biggest bowl of soup. Korean chef biggest bowl of soup. Let's see what that is. Let's see if there's anything on that. But if you put that in, somehow you can scroll far enough through the throes of the internet, something will come up about a Korean chef and a big bowl of soup or something that you can line up in that world.
What
am
we
I right?
Mo? Something.
Is there anything in there?
Any soup? Any pictures of Bobby?
It's got to be an article.
The Washington Post.
What Washington Post?
Says.
What does it say?
A bowl of Korean comfort for the new year.
There you go. And you could just go, that's what I was talking about.
Wow.
You can, if keywords can be formed into any article that's been written before. So you could lie your way through literally anything. This is why Trump was so good at what he did. And I mean this. He was so good at being like, he would make up something, and there is a place on the internet that will validate it.
Mm.
I'm dead serious. People didn't like it. It was the greatest accidental magic trick he ever pulled. If he was just like, it was the biggest, and everyone's like, no, it wasn't. That's a literal lie. Somewhere on the internet, they'll be like, it technically kind of was one of the biggest at the time. And you're like, what the fuck? You couldn't beat this guy. The internet has had,
yeah.
The internet makes articles so often. So many idiots are posting.
Also, he really tested, I think, our threshold for fact checking.
Well, you
everyone got
how,
tired
how
after
much
a while.
Time could you
when
spend?
You're just like, the Bernstein Bears was written by a midget, and then you're like, I don't think it was, but I am already forgot
I'm
to
on the
check
next,
that.
I'm
later.
On to the next.
I'm
lie.
On to the next thing you say.
Yes, he's smart. He's smart. You just keep telling
the TMZ of sound bites, just pushing shit down the page to make room for more. And also, that's just, I mean, that's why this country is so just
greatest country in the world?
The greatest country.
The greatest country in the world?
Truly. But
put an American flag over my face right now.
But the fact that we're like, fucking Ukraine, God.
Sad.
And then literally in the same breath, God, Pete and Kim look really cute together.
They do. And they do.
And guess what? And then it's just...
And then it's on to the next thing.
On to the next thing. And your
she
mind
said,
is...
I read an article that said she was texting him before she went on SNL.
Ooh, Pete.
Good for Pete.
Good for Pete, man.
Can I give a shout out to Liquid Death, guys? If you want to up your game, put a piece of chewed gum that you had been chewing in the tab there, you'll get a whiff, you'll smell spearmint,
sniff
but you'll
before
taste
a sip?
Water. Well, look.
That's actually fucking brilliant.
I'm smelling spearmint as I'm tasting water, so it's tricking my mind.
So you don't have to add the chemical into the water.
Don't need
just
it.
Just put it on the tab.
Put it on the tab.
Put it on the tab. That's the tagline for it.
The tab. Doc, did we just invent a new company?
I think so. How bad do you want to do that? How bad do you
get
watch
rich?
Shark Tank and go, "Where's I've got an idea that is ready for this?" Or how often you get high and go, "I need to come up with something so that I can retire."
I think about getting rich all the time, and then I think,
but you don't want that quick hit. You like working.
No,
for
I
it.
Want the slow burn. You know, because I think if you get all of it, you'll Brewster's Millions yourself.
1,000%.
You'll just, and even as old as we are, even being almost 40 years old, if you put 50 million, 100 million in my in my bank account today, I'd be fucking, first of all, I'd be miserable.
You would.
What the fuck am I going to do now? Am I going to go to a Tuesday spot at the store? The fuck I am. I'm done. I'm done. That's nuts. Why the fuck if someone's like, you're not going to, oh, you're going to give up on that? Yeah. Yes, I am. It's been 17 fucking years. I'm tired.
I want my money. I want my chef to cook me some Korean soup.
Because people don't know. We've been driving around for comedy for fucking 15 some odd years.
We're driving to Brea next week for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like,
I want my 100 million so I don't have to do that.
My 100 mil.
Or I could take a copter there.
I see.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I would private jet all over. We know guys that do that.
Yeah, I want that.
I do too, but even private jets are probably fucking annoying, you know, because you're still flying.
In what way?
Well, you're still flying.
Yeah, but you take out every piece of the...
I know.
Although I do like the mask fights. Have you seen any live on any of your travels?
No, that's funny. I haven't been on any... I see it on the internet like it's a prevalent thing, but I've literally never been on a flight where anybody's even argued. I had one guy in my row... on a flight back from New York, and it was a lay flat, you know, the lay one, the lay downs.
Yeah.
And he was asking them to help him because maybe it was broken. And she was like, "Do you mind wearing your mask?" Mm. And he was like, "Really? Can I just get this taken care of for, like, I don't know where it is. I got up, like, this thing is fucking broken." He was kind of frustrated. And she was like, "Can I just get you a new mask and you'll wear it?" And he was like, "Fine." That was the biggest.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll top you. Southwest, Burbank to Phoenix.
Well, say no more.
Guys.
Southwest.
Guys hammered. I think he came from Vegas and just did a layover in Burbank to get more fucked up and then
go back to Vegas.
And dude, this guy.
I love everything I have in Vegas.
This is it. Ready? That's the guy. Probably 250, oozing out of the seatbelt. Got a Under Armour polo on. "Sir, will you put your mask on?" "Eat my pussy," this guy said, in row 4.
And did he have one?
Probably. That's
the guy. You don't know. You don't assume.
Really,
Adam? Careful, because you're about to fucking step on broken glass, buddy.
This guy looked like my old gym teacher, Mr. Tangan.
Gym teachers are synonymous with lesbians.
No. It was a guy who said, "Eat my pussy."
"Eat my fucking pussy."
Yeah.
Honestly,
and she said, "Excuse me." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah." And they rambled whatever. And he like put it on begrudgingly.
It is kind of funny. When girls say, "Suck my dick," I love it.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I laugh.
That's so cool.
And a guy to say, "Eat my pussy," is so cock. Yes.
When a girl says cock, I think Allie said that to me before. "Suck my cock, idiot." And I'm like, good.
Still hot, right?
Well, it's just funny. It's just such a funny. Because it's taking ownership of male genitalia. It's like emasculating a penis. It's kind of funny. It's like, "Suck my cock, my little tiny gross cock." It's funny for a girl to make fun of little tiny gross cock penises.
It's actually one of our fan questions that we got submitted. Andrew, what does your dick smell like?
Smell?
Yeah.
I can't get down that far. I tried to suck my own dick when I was like 13
you
once.
You did?
Yeah, once. I tried to at least kiss it.
Everyone tries once.
Yeah, of course. That's a human
Most
human
people
nature.
Are stopped though, like... you know, upon attempt.
Well, I grabbed my legs and I just started rolling back, just doing, I was doing somersaults all over the carpet. I never was able to, but I could never smell my penis. But what does my penis smell like to this gentleman? Who's this gentleman asking? Obviously a guy. Of course, it's only a guy. A girl would never ask something
Brent
like that.
Brent Morin who submitted the question. He's a comedian.
You'll find out in a week, scumbag, when we share a hotel room in Disneyland.
Have you gotten, what's the craziest like fan question or thing that you've been asked to do? I mean.
That's interesting.
Because now with just the.
Most of the time I get a lot of stuff about like, what's Bobby's dick look like?
Right.
And it's like, you could see it.
Yeah,
it's, he'll
show
just
you.
Go to a show.
Yeah.
Go to one show. Pay for one ticket. You'll see his cock. I don't know what the weirdest question I've been asked. I think I've told this story before, but okay. The wildest shit I've seen, not for me, but been a part of, was heckler-wise. Me and Rogan, I don't know where we were. I want to say Atlantic City, but I could be totally wrong because we traveled so much. That is true about that hacky thing where it's like, "What up, Nashville?" They're like, "This is Atlanta." And they're like, "Oh my God." You know,
hey,
like,
man. Yeah.
I forget all the fucking time where I was. I have no idea.
When you're cruising like that, you can truly get
city to city to city to city. Yeah, yeah. You get so lost.
Just landing, show, hotel, land.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nuts. You like go to a van, from a van to a hotel, to a van to a show, to a van to a hotel, van to airport. Sometimes I didn't even see an ounce of the city.
That routine and monotony, if you don't see some sort of landscape or something to define where you are and make you exit the bubble, then you're just in the bubble.
Yeah, I think we're in Atlantic City,
yeah,
which would make sense for the sake of the story, because this dude kept like screaming, and Joe was like talking to some of the audience members after the show was over, like, or after he had done his hour. And this guy was like, he's like, let me come up there and give you something. And Joe's like, fuck no. And the guy was super close to the front row. He's maybe like four or five rows back. And he had one of these man slings, you know, like a Louis Vuitton, like God. A man.
Man purse.
Yeah, it's almost not even a man purse. It needs its own name.
He said, you know, have you seen those, right?
It's like a fanny pack, but it's a
satchel.
A satchel.
That sounds a little more
satchel
manly.
Satchel Page.
Yeah.
And so he then pulls out what, you know, like, look, I'm obviously going to hyperbolize. We're on a podcast, and also it's fun to say more than it usually is. But it was like 50 grand. I mean, it looked like it was this big in his fucking hand.
Wow.
And if you've held a grand in your hand, a grand is like this big.
Sure.
It's not that many hundreds. No. It was this big. It looked like a softball. Yeah. And he gets
Mafia
up on stage.
Handful.
Yeah, this fucking idiot. Like, he's like trying to hand Joe like a wad of money. And Joe's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
I'll do one on it ad and get that.
And grabs it, and Joe grabs it, and then is like giving it to other people.
Oh.
Is like throwing it out. And this dude thinks that's cool. And so this dude starts throwing money into the crowd. And we're letting him stand there in the front. And I'm just standing there like off to the side. I was like, Joe like turns, he's laughing. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, if this guy's dumb enough, he's literally throwing money, hundreds, into the fucking crowd.
Losing their mind. And,
yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. It was the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. That was like the weirdest heckle I've ever been a part of, where it was like he was being rude, interrupting. And also Joe was like very patient with him. Mm. But when the guy was like trying to give money, he's like, is that a wad of money?
Mm.
Why are you holding out a wad of money? And then he's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? He was wasted.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'll give it away. And Joe's like, do it. Like, he was egging him on. And the guy was like, wow. Okay. And he starts throwing it. And I'm standing there just like, throw it up here.
Can you imagine getting double dog dared by Joe Rogan in front of 40,000 people?
Eat this bug and throw this money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, fear factor. He should implement some sort of fear. Like, if he was at the point where he only had like 30 minutes of material. You know how some people get going and they're like, I'm going to do Q&A for the last 20-30
sure.
to create material, whatever. Yeah. If he just did Fear Factor stunts at the end of the show, just the way Jeff Ross brings people on stage to roast them, just bring them up, bring in your merch bag, a bowl of dicks.
Will you suck this bowl of dicks for a free shirt? You better believe it, JRE. They'll do it too. By the way,
bring out the basket of dicks.
Pull that up. Pull that bag of cocks up, Jamie. I like that maroon Seattle Mariners hat.
Thank you, brother. I've been complimented a lot on it. It's a fresh one. You know, I like to go the deep dive hats that aren't the normal ones, you know? I had to go through a couple weird sides to get this one.
What size are you? Wait.
Oh, I love this game. Guess your friend's head. Welcome back to Guess Your Friend's Head.
Welcome back to the the classic new era game, Guess Your Friend's Head Size.
By the way, any ballpark should...
7 3/8. Show me. Oh, no! Oh. What did I guess right? 7 3/8.
Holy shit.
There it is, America.
I don't know
if you can see that on there. Can you see that on that cam?
That is
7 3/8. I can tell. I've been friends with you for fucking years.
Yeah, but you've never guessed my head before.
I can always see heads. Heads are obvious to me. I can
That's
see.
Impressive.
I have a small head.
What are you? Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Welcome back to Go Ahead. Guessing head sizes.
You're at least 7.
Yeah.
7 1/4.
Oh! That's good. 7 1/4 is really good.
Let's go,
baby. It's a tiny little peanut head. This is a snapback, so I didn't want you to see the back because that would be more of a giveaway over what it is.
Love hats.
Big hat guy. I just got this hat. This is a nice little golf hat.
You're big on the fresh lids. You're big on the fresh kicks.
I like hats. I like shoes, but I'm more into comfy shoes now. I like old man shoes. You know, I'm into old man shoes now. Like, these are slip-on. Look at that. Those laces are fake. These are slippies.
I love the
slip-ons. These are slippy pippies.
Okay. Is that what they're called?
Slippy pippies. I just want to get in and out, dude. I don't want to have to tie shoes anymore. I've worked way too hard to tie my shoes anymore.
You've always been that way.
as like a convenience guy.
As long as I've known you, you just manage your time well. But you're good at being. I'll take this compliment. You're good at being present and give it. Like, let's say you're walking out of the Comedy Store and there's five young comics that want to talk to you. There's a couple guys that are homies that you haven't seen for a minute. I see you give a moment to everybody, and even if like with the young comics, you do a quick something to like make them feel recognized and there, and then say what up to your buddies, something. I got to get out of here, and you go. But you don't. I've never seen you do just a disregard for it or a anything rude. It's always like acknowledging, giving the moment, being present, and then you dip.
God bless. I love you.
You're quick about that.
I try. I mean. Yeah. Also because I think I took influence from some of the older guys that I respect, and they do that, you know.
It takes so little to give somebody eye contact and say what up.
I remember how cool it was when guys that were much older than me even said what's up or threw a joke my way or chatted. Or like, even if on the way out, an older guy was like, what's up with that fucking weirdo? And then you're like, what is up with that? You know, it was like a nice.
Even if you didn't have anything, just laugh nervously back. He probably has a fucking boner in his fucking butt.
And then you're like, all right, man, have a good night.
Sorry, Sebastian.
Yeah. Sorry, Bill.
Who did that for you when you got going? Who like looked in your direction and gave you the time of day?
Burr was always polite. Was so polite and nice and like, polite, such a fucking dumb word. Burr was always like, I don't know, just
generous.
Just a nice guy. Yeah. It was always nice, and we were young, and he didn't really know me.
Yep.
Rogan was always fucking nice to me. Rogan was always, I mean, back when I first met him at the club.
Yeah.
You know who I've newly fallen in love with? I think George Lopez is the fucking man.
Cool.
I love him. He didn't really know me when we had first met. Super nice.
How'd you guys meet?
I think we met.
It's Grindr?
I think it was Sidewinder, which is a new version of Grindr. Sidewinder is a new Grindr, and I'm actually one of the
founders. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm one of the financial supporters of the app Sidewinder. So
good,
please download it.
Yeah,
Sidewinder is for gay sex, but it's
networking though.
But you have to lay down in the bed and you have to snake together up the bed. Sidewinder.
Wow.
As you may know, is a snake that travels opposite of what it looks. That's how I met him. I met him. How did I meet him? I met him through. I met him through people to connect us through podcasts.
Yeah.
But I had met him informally at the Laugh Factory maybe or something one time, but it was nice. I don't know. Like
he's in a very.
I haven't had a lot of big guys be mean to me when I was young.
Mm.
There isn't one guy where I'm like, you know who I fucking hate?
Sure.
I don't really have that guy. At all, really. That's kind of weird. Do you have one of those guys?
Not that I hate. I've got guys that have just
brushed you the wrong way.
Really, probably only one that
Give
has
it to
just.
Me.
I've already given it to you.
Oh, it's Kevin Nealon. That guy's a piece of shit.
Well, his misdirect.
Let me tell you something, Kev.
Kev, you think you're so tall and so kind.
He is so kind.
He's the best, dude.
And he looks the same as he did when he was on SNL. I watched an old fucking clip pop up of him on Weekend Update. I was like, that's the same guy I know.
Oh, he has not aged.
It's fucking weird.
He's on that show, Man Without a Plan. He's got a plan. It's called Never Die.
Never Die. Who's the guy that, oh, right.
You
don't want to talk about that one.
No, not yet. I don't have,
sorry about this.
It's truly, with me, it's a respect, it's a, not even respect thing, but just a way, like, if you, because look, I'm sure, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, the amount of probably shit talk and gossip that happens about you that you're unaware of, there's no point in trying to,
it's not your
even
business.
If you're, you can only control what you can control, which is again, like being nice, going about your business, working hard, you know, trying to help people out when the opportunity arises. And then if people still want to, which I didn't think was possible until I started to just see it happen, see people still chop at people that only did that, I go, oh, no one's immune to that.
Yeah.
So once I got that out of my head of like being like, all right, you can't control that, so control what you can control. But people that that have, you know, just, and the person is a little more seasoned, that just has, I don't know if it's insecurities or just a need to cut down, to build up. Just a classic, what they teach you in sex ed, when it's like, you know, you put this there, you suck that there, you know,
that's
don't make...
That, was that sex ed?
Oh, in a nutshell. We walked in, it was a two silhouette, it was a woman in a shower.
Suck it, don't suck it. Fuck it, don't fuck it. Class dismissed. Look, I feel like I didn't get a lot of information, but I do know what to not suck and fuck.
And why was he wearing a mesh tank top and no pants?
Suck it.
Do you remember sex ed? What was yours? Legit.
I got suspended.
For laughing too hard?
No, I got suspended because...
You taught the class and you were 10.
No, because our teacher gave us a drawing of a penis, but it was like a diagram with like the internals with the urethra and all that stuff, and it was a beautiful penis. I can still draw it today.
She drew it?
No, this was like a medical, like a scientific drawing of a penis, a diagram the internal workings of your penis and your testicles and your
like with little lines with like words next to it, like urethra,
yeah,
like
correct,
butt, nutsack,
epididymis, and all this stuff. And
epididymis, I haven't thought about that guy in so long. What is that again?
I think that's just your skin, isn't it? Your epididymis is your skin.
Wow.
But then it was like, and then it was about your balls and the thing that held your balls and all that shit. And anyway, I drew that same penis because I'd been tracing it over and over, and then I drew something coming out of it. Take a guess. And in the puddle of the stuff coming out of it, I wrote the teacher's name, you know, like as if I had come the teacher's name.
That's so funny.
And I showed it to all the buds, and all the buds lulled. Of course, everybody saw it. And then it was thrown away in a trash can in the classroom. Now, that would have gone untouched and unnoticed. But there was a young lady, she knows who the fuck she is, who pulled it out of the trash can.
God, I hope she is.
And showed it to the fucking teacher. I'm not kidding.
Ooh.
And then the teacher handed
her
over.
Her name Natalie Tattletale?
Natalie Rattletale.
Wow.
She was a rat tattletale, so we called her Natalie Rattletale. And this bitch.
She had a rat tail.
She fucking gave it to the teacher. And then I subsequently did get suspended for that. Because
your name was on the drawing. You signed your work.
No, she said it was me, and like I was undeniably.
You couldn't lie at that age.
Well, mine was, I mean, it was really good. I kind of wanted to take credit for it.
Yeah.
Did you draw this dick? I was like, you better believe it. That's a good dick. But I got suspended, and that was like, I mean, I got suspended a million different fucking times.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were such a trouble kid.
I was, dude. I brought a gun to junior high one time.
What?
Not a real one.
Super Soaker.
No, I brought like a BB gun.
The fuck did you get that?
Fucking, back in the day, you could buy it at Sports Authority used to sell those. You could buy them today. You can go to Big Five and go get a BB gun today. And they're heavy, dude. That looks like a real gun.
Yeah, and you brought it to just what? Like scare kids at recess?
No, I think there was a purpose. I think it was like a performance thing that we were doing, like in a class, in like performing arts class or something like that. I don't remember. And I was supposed to, and I wanted to shoot somebody in the face. So I brought it, but I pulled it out at the bus stop to this guy who was an asshole, and then he snitched and said I had a gun, and they thought I had a real gun. And then there was
there
was a campus officer there when I got off the bus. It was
yikes.
Like, Yeah, it was like that time I got off the plane and there was like four cops waiting for me because I had like 40 kilos of coke when I was coming back from Mexico City one time. And that's how I ended up in jail. Come see my new movie, Blow.
Is that what Blow's about?
No, well, I mean, it's about George Young's fucking cocaine expedition. But anyway, I brought a gun and I got clapped for that. I got clapped for so much stuff.
But you weren't trying to be class clown? You just were a little
fucking around. I was always fucking around, but like all my suspensions were because I was having too much fun.
Yeah.
I never was like, it's not like I was a bully. I didn't beat anybody up.
Yeah.
Unless they fought me and then I would fight back. But I was never like a jerk that was like, he did this thing on purpose to XYZ. I was fucking having fun and I got caught having fun a lot.
You were a goofball.
Yeah. Smoking weed.
At what age?
On campus. You know, that was an issue.
Oh, in college?
No, in high school. Wow. Yeah, we used to get stoned at lunch constantly. I used to love leaving for lunch. We get fucking baked out of our brains.
I wanted to be one of those kids.
Yeah, I had chemistry after my senior year lunch break. So we were tie-dyeing t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
So we got fucking, but I got annihilated. I couldn't even function. It was awful. It was bad, and she knew.
Teacher catch you? Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, she made them call to have me get picked up because I was incapacitated. It was fucking.
Also, a high school kid has no ability to hide that they're stoned.
Well, dude, because you're just so high.
And even if
so fucking
you look
high.
So baked. Your body can't adjust yet. Yeah.
You know what I used to love is getting stoned and walking through the hallway because if I don't know how congested your schools were, but my high school
packed to the brim
was
yeah.
extremely. I mean, we had about 4,000 kids or something like that. I don't
tight
even
hallways,
remember.
Thin walls.
Yeah, dude. And so navigating through, it was a video game. I used to love operating it like a game, like two left, left, down, down, up. And I would go through people in my mind. It was like,
bing, 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 bing,
bop, 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 bop. And I'd jump on a little kid, on a smaller a freshman. Bop, 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 bop. And now I'd grow. I used to think it was a video game. The hallway to
that's
me was so digital because you had to navigate. If you went to a congested high school, you navigate how you walk through the hallways.
Human Tetris.
But I really do remember that so vividly. And then looking down at my watch of like, because, dude, that always pissed me off. We only had 3 minutes to get from class to class, and our school was fucking huge, dude. And I was late all the time, not because I was fucking around, because getting to class, if I stopped to say what up to one homie.
You're done.
I'm cooked.
Yeah.
Santino, you're late again. It's like, because I'm high, there's too many people in the hallway, and Mark made a fucking funny joke. I had to say what's up and give him props, you know?
It was a homie what up. I'm supposed to leave the...
All right, it's your second homie what up this week. If you're tardy again, it's going to be a homie talk too long.
I'm sorry, I got friends.
Yeah, my bad. But so that bothered me about being stoned and going back to school, because it killed my high almost immediately.
Would you go back to speak at a school ever? And I spoke at a DARE graduation when I was a senior in high school.
Shut up.
Yeah. And it was the one day after the first time I got so high.
You love drugs.
I couldn't feel my legs. And I asked my buddy Jess to drive me to the hospital.
That was Saturday.
On that Monday, I was like, drugs suck.
Well, at that moment, you agreed. Well, they'll send you to the hospital.
Here's actually what I open with. I go, look, I'm not going to tell you guys not to do drugs. I just hear the principal in the back go, oh.
On his mic.
And my whole thing was get active. Be in every club. Do every sport. Because when you're so busy, you have no option to participate in the stuff that's going to take you down because you're so busy. The more busy you are, the more priorities and responsibilities you're going to have. And the less reason you're going to... You're not going to want to fuck that up.
I say...
But opening with, I'm not going to tell you not to do drugs.
I'm going to tell you not to do
shitty,
drugs.
Is a shitty...
Bad.
Because naturally, I should have been like, because some of them are pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Some drugs are fucking...
Raise your hand if you didn't feel your legs 48 hours ago.
I saw you in a hospital. It's like, that's... And I was to visit somebody. I say get so busy and active. Yeah. This is advice to young kids. If there's a high school kid that's listening to this, if you're a young man or lady... And you're like, I want to try drugs, pot maybe specifically or whatever. I would say do be active, be an athlete, and then be so busy that at the end of the day, you reward yourself with drugs. That's what I did.
Ooh,
I rewarded
like that,
myself with drugs later in life. And I wish I did it earlier because when I started smoking pot when I was like 14 or 15, and I smoked pot all the way until, you know, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I make it a reward nowadays.
I like that.
When I do drugs.
Yes.
In general. Because it's too easy to get fucking ripped in the middle of the day.
Bro, it's...
Especially if you got a couple bucks in your pocket and you don't have to be somewhere. You're like, I can just get fucking annihilated.
I think it's the biggest reason people just smoke pot during the day is because they go, I don't. It's 11. I don't have to do anything till...
4.
Or the next day even, depending on... So they're just like, I'll just do that instead of... Having other...
Yeah, responsibilities and priorities. I think get so busy that you're rewarded. It's like the way people look at like a glass of wine or like a beer at the end of a long work day. It's like smoke a joint after you've completed a whole day and then you can kind of... Then your brain is clear. Because I always hated getting too high and then losing the high because my whole brain was like functioning the rest of the day, thinking about like where I need to be and what I need to do. I'm too pragmatic to like just get stoned in the dead middle of the day if I have stuff coming up.
We got high once and went to Anaheim to go to an Angels game.
My
and
God.
You just brought this up to me at the 50th birthday party for the Comedy Store a few nights ago. I completely forgot about that. We went to see Sully, the Tom Hanks movie. You were so high you couldn't
watch it.
Couldn't watch the movie.
Yeah, because
you were nervous that Hanks wasn't going to land the plane.
Let's give a breakdown. You picked me up. We went to Adam Devine's house to grab something.
Mm.
What did we go for?
I don't know.
I don't remember, but he lived right near my old place.
Yeah.
We picked up something from Adam. We said hi and bye. It was super fast. We gave him a hug and a kiss.
Maybe
and then
weeds. Yeah.
And then you handed me a bottle of tincture.
Yeah.
Do you know this?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's, I don't remember if I asked if it was concentrated or not. But
I think I also didn't give you a full report. I was like, yeah, it's good, it's good.
But it was concentrated.
Yeah.
And I took a whole eyedropper on my tongue, and you were like, oh, dude, you only need like a couple of drops. And it had, I mean, what's an eyedropper? I mean, I don't know, 10 drops? I have no idea.
At least.
I can't even fake to pretend like it was 80 drops.
It was.
But it was more than fucking two or three.
It was significant.
Yeah, and I put it all in my mouth.
It was enough to feel like Hanks was talking to you through the screen.
Bro, you were like, it's not that big of a deal. And honestly, it wasn't. I was high as fuck going down, and then as soon as we got to the movie theater, there were those movie stanchions where you buy your own ticket, and I couldn't fucking do it. I was so bummed at you, dude. I was like, my dude, you have to buy my ticket, dog. I couldn't fucking work the machine. Very easy. Credit card in.
I was like, you got money, man. You're on Mixology.
I was like, brother, I have no idea how to do this. And I was almost ready to cry. I had to call my old lady. I stepped out of Sully because, first of all, what kind of friends are these? I'm so fucking high. They know I'm out of my mind. It's me, him, and Brad Williams. I'm out of my fucking mind. And I was like, well, we got to kill time before the baseball game. Let's go see a movie. Why would we go see the plane crash movie when I'm high as a fucking kite? These two dudes were like, it's a great idea. I'm like, it's a terrible fucking idea.
It's based on a true story, man.
I was panicking while we were getting popcorn.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, what do you want to eat, man? And the whole time I'm like, dude, if I see this guy crash this plane, I'm never going to be able to fly again. Because I was so fucking stoned.
Yeah.
And then I watched like the first 15 minutes, walked down the hallway, called my old lady. She leveled me out.
Thank God.
And then I went in 5 minutes later, and I did finish the film. The baseball game, though, was incredible. Yeah. We went up to the sound booth, and then Brad went on the dugout.
Yes.
Remember, he was dancing on the dugout?
Going to a baseball game with a little person is the only way to go.
Undefeated. Who's going to say no, by the way?
Nobody.
You guys don't belong here. Oh, you see the little friend of ours?
Hey, man.
We can
He's
go
got the I can sit anywhere height going on. Yeah.
We literally walked through doors we did not belong in, and nobody said shit. What are they going
to
say?
Because nobody wants to be the first one to go, you can't, I don't. Actually, no, if you can or cannot, go ahead.
We all just stand there and look at him like, are you fucking serious right now?
Yeah.
You're going to talk to him that way?
Oh, Brad told me once he went to a Beyonce Jay-Z concert, I think at Dodger Stadium, and their seats were way up high, and he saw the handicap seats. And he went up to the...
You should have access.
And they just sit down there, and the guy was about to stop him and then stopped, and then Brad gave him the look of like, I can't sit here.
Do you want to get fired?
And the guy just fucking retreated.
Yeah, of course, because honestly, that's like anything.
And he's got the pass, the placard.
You realize it's just a person doing their job, and if you're a little bit nice to them, or if you do the right thing where you're like, come on, man.
Oh, big time.
If you do the come on, man, the guy in the parking lot, he comes right up to the car. He's like, you can't park here. I was like, no, he told me to park here. He's like, who told you to park here? I go, my man. And then I explain slowly and carefully, and then he goes, oh, okay, it's your buddy. All right. And then he walked away, and it's like, that could have gone two ways.
Yeah.
I could have gotten more annoyed and been like, dude, get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. I'm supposed to park here. And then he'd be like, you know what, dude? You know what I mean? And that it doesn't need to go there. Same thing. If you go to a sporting event or something and you want to sneak around, just go up to someone and be like, hey.
Tug at the heartstrings.
Is it cool if we, my buddy has cancer.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest heartstring to tug at.
Well, he may not have cancer, but we're all going to get it. So eventually,
he looks
like
he does.
My buddy's
he?
Gonna get cancer.
Doesn't he look like he does?
Doesn't he look like he has cancer?
He's got some sort of foot thing going on too.
Have you ever seen this guy? Holy shit, dude! I don't know why I was watching it last night. There's a guy on TikTok that's a 109-year-old monk.
Amazing.
Have you seen this man, bro?
What's his name?
He'll look it up. But dude, he just passed away. Oh. But he's on TikTok, and the woman put up like, if you're on TikTok, you've probably seen this. He's like in bed the whole time, and he's as frail as you. Adam needs to see a picture of this. And he, dude, it's bones. It's what? Literally, it's bones. Like, you know what fondant is? Chocolate. That's like, you know, the fondant is on cake. He looks like fondant skin on bones.
Oh,
he looks like you
God.
Draped skin on fucking bones. That's that. Okay, he just passed away this
man. Oh my God.
Yeah. But dude, 109, and so the TikTok videos, he's alive and he's talking to his like his great-great-grandkid or whatever, but the comment section,
they roast him?
Oh my God. I spent 30 minutes on the shitter just reading how funny people were. Like one of the first ones was, bro's history class was called Present. Bro has a signed copy of the original Bible. Dude, it was on and on like that. And it's just like TikTok, dude, you give them a little bit of something and man, are they good. They'll fucking run with
Who
it.
Who saw
dude.
TikTok coming? To like
it's
the
probably the Chinese. Those guys are fucking, aren't they behind all of it?
1,000%. But
it's
also
China. Should we ban it?
By the way, try to ban TikTok.
Yeah, but then they realize TikTok is this company we use is the American version. Well, it's all bullshit.
You said you were looking at when you're on the shitter. I know you've posted a lot of funny videos from the toilet. What when you're on there and you're doing, is it, what's your go-to, I guess, not guilty pleasure show or whatever, but when you just are truly in a, maybe you've just gotten back from a set or you are on the toilet or you're having a cocktail, what is your, I can't picture you going out on the patio and just turning on tunes and sitting there and being in deep thought. I feel like you're looking, you're consuming something.
You're like, you're not a deep guy. You're an idiot.
No,
you're probably eating bullshit food, watching bad TV.
No.
And right you'd be.
I just feel like all the time you're thinking, every time using I get your home brain. From a set, so I feel like you're trying to take it down a notch.
To get away?
Yes.
You're right. Every time I get home from a set, I have cereal at the house. Cereal is my late night snack.
And what kind?
Well, dude, over the years
doing
it's changed.
Doing healthy cereals now.
I am now.
That's fine.
We have four in our cabinet, and two are always healthy.
I like you said cabinet, not cabinet.
It's a cabinet, isn't it?
Yeah, but some people cabinet? Say cabinet.
Oh, those C-A-B, people should
they
be
drop
shot.
The I.
Those people should be shot. I have two in my...
I know a guy with a BB gun.
Two of them that are healthy and two that are unhealthy.
Great.
And I go down the line of like...
You take turns.
Well, we always have Cheerios, because I think Cheerios is the only like name brand Whole Foods carries or whatever, or Trader Joe's. One of them only carries like one name brand, and it's fucking Cheerios. So we always have Cheerios.
I always trust the B too. That Cheerios B has always been reliable.
And they put that heart thing on there, and my brain's always like, it is going to be cholesterol. Like I've bought into the commercials.
100%
like
whole wheat.
Schmuck. Yeah. It's
Frosted Flakes. Tony's like, it could be cum on the flakes. And you're like, so you're like, all right.
That's where that came from. He was like, they're great. That's where that slogan. They're like, Tony, we need a slogan. He's like, just say that they're great. He's like, so what did we come up with?
You want to hear something funny? I read for the new Tony the Tiger, and I was high as balls in Seattle. They're great.
That sounds exactly like it.
So they wanted, they go, it was all the ones with Shaq. There's Tony the Tiger and Shaq on all these commercials. It was that one. And I, hey, Shaq, are you going to come back and play another season?
Oh, man, I highly doubt it. I mean, the Lakers are so trash. I don't be around them. I'm fucking Lakers right now.
What? So my mom's in the background, and I'm high as balls, and I forgot to do it, and it was late at night, and I had to stand in the morning, and I was like, I'm not going to get up early because I'm so tired. So yeah. I got to do it now, but I was too high. So I did like 50 takes of, they're great! And then I left it on, and my mom's in the background asking me what food I want, and I'm like, Mom, and she's like, are you baked? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you want some casserole? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Left that in on the audition and sent it. On accident.
Wait, do we know the results yet?
Oh, I didn't get it.
Oh, boo. Yeah. Boo them. Come on, Kellogg's.
But I realized that I sent it, and I hit back my agent, and I go, please tell me you listened to it and cut that off. They're like, no. I go.
But also good that they give you personality.
I know.
I don't do, you get a lot of voiceover stuff. I don't even do it anymore.
You got a good voice, too.
It's all right. I've tried, you know, they give you the fucking, it's got to be at noon by Thursday, submittal.
Yeah.
And then I don't do it because I get mad.
You're going to get the DreamWorks Netflix Pixar. You're going to get an animated character.
I'm on
very
a show
soon.
Now.
What?
Well, I'm doing two shows.
Ooh.
I'm doing two. One of them I'm actually on the show.
What is it?
It's called Royal Crackers. It's not going to come out for...
It'll come out in 2028, so what is it?
Royal Crackers will come out probably 2035, so a couple more years. Royal Crackers, I think, will come out at the end of the year.
That's amazing.
And then I did a bunch of guest stuff on 10-Year-Old Tom, which is already out.
Is that a kid show?
No, dude. 10-Year-Old Tom is, man, and I apologize profusely.
Fine.
Because this is embarrassing, because I do know, but my brain is doing one of those things where...
Well, also,
no,
hey,
no,
man,
no.
You got credits aplenty, so things
no,
just
no,
start
no, no.
to blur together.
But I know these guys, and I love them so much. It's Steve. I couldn't think of his last name. Steve Dildarian.
Mm.
And you do know who that is, because
not to be confused with Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah, that's right. He did Life and Times of Tim. Do you know?
Oh,
Life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is another that Steve.
10-Year-Old Tom.
Yeah, 10-Year-Old Tom. And you know who else is in it? Our good friend Byron Bowers is in it, who I love to death.
Todd, what a great set
Todd
of pipes.
Glass, Eric Griffin. There's some good.
Wow.
Malkovich. There's some really good people.
John.
No,
Malkovich?
Bill Malkovich, the old pickleball champion. Yes, John Malkovich. anyway, still Darian. I couldn't think of his last
Good
name,
for
and, I,
you,
and I was going to fuck it up. But yeah, so I'm doing. But I'm not on that show.
Yeah,
it's like
you
a,
will. That's great.
They call me to do a voice. So I'll do those things.
Yeah, you like to do that.
I get that through. It's usually
knowing someone that knows you.
Yeah,
sees something,
and they like
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But every time I've gone out for like a voice thing that I record, You know, it's like special request for Andrew Santee. They really want to hear
you. Great.
And it's like, well, then fucking give it to
me. Yeah, I know.
You know what I fucking sound
An
like.
Andrew Santino type. How about just me. The guy?
Also, there's how many hours? It's like, this is my 8,000th hour on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
You'll hear it.
Yeah.
You'll hear it.
1,000%.
It's been done. I've done every accent.
What animal would you want to do if you could, let's say, how about it's a Madagascar type movie where you got the whole cast of creatures?
Well, I look like an orangutan. I think an orangutan is funny as a fit. I want to be, if you can make a cartoony looking orangutan,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to have one of these obscure voices, kind of like a nerd, because an orangutan is cumbersome. They're lumbery,
yeah.
You know?
So with your natural voice, your quick...
Yeah,
articulate.
Like quick and nerdy, like almost like a Ben Shapiro orangutan.
Yeah, but you also could do, like we've done those like really like, you know, laid back San Diego bros.
Yeah, very fucking.
You could do like a chill giraffe, bro.
Yeah. But see, I want it to be the opposite. You'd always think it's the chill giraffe who's eating, or like it's the koala who's eating eucalyptus that's high.
Yeah.
Make it the other guy that's high.
Yeah.
Like I think it's time to make the switch. You know what I mean? Make the guy who doesn't seem high and vice versa, right? Like a, what's that, like a groundhog, like the thing that pops up out of the ground and freaks out, you know? Remember that clip? Like, Alan! I love that clip. But when a groundhog pops out, like him being like, oh man, what the fuck is going... I like that juxtaposition, because now cartoons are... All I see in those, like Madagascar and stuff, it's exactly how you think they're supposed to sound.
Of course.
Switch it up, man.
What did you think when you saw the kid fall in the orangutan or the gorilla...
We talked about this on Bad Friends.
Did you really?
Kill him. Let him die.
The kid...
Yeah, let him die. if that's your kid and you're the parent, that's your fault.
Yeah, because I think if you're anywhere near that, you have to have all of your wits about you.
Look, that's Darwinism. To get over that fence, to jump over there, and to have not the wherewithal for the parents to be like, to not give a heads up.
Mm.
Hey, buddy, this thing will kill you. All these things will kill you.
Yeah.
This is not.
They assume the kid just knew it instinctively, huh?
Must not have said anything to the fucking kid, and they just were looking the other way, and he climbed over the fence and jumped in. And by the way, if he did that after all of that explanation, bye.
Yeah.
Kid's got to go, bud. If I was those parents, I'd have been halfway home in the car. They're like, we're going to get him. I'm like, don't worry about it. He's either going to grow up with gorillas, or he's going to be food. But, and then I would come visit him. If he grew up with the gorillas and he became.
Well, then you're Mowgli.
Yes, and then you're going to get
your story's already been told.
Deal with your kid, Jungle Book deal. You know,
maybe that's what they were doing.
Then Dad pops into the picture. He's like, "I supported him the whole time. He fell into the cage.
I told him learn the language. Come on back, bring those skills you take there. Bring them back to the real world.
That's right, Mowgli. They're like, look, it's still too close.
There's gonna be a rights
bigger
issue.
Gap. How many, when you put out fan questions, do people ask a lot of questions?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really engaging?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I saw you post that, and I thought, is this a bit, too, or people do ask questions?
No. Let me pull up some actual ones.
You know, I've done this show. I did this show when it was you and Brad out of your old
place.
He's
still here. Check under the table. But there is...
Whoa!
We'll be right back with more, hey, is that a little person under the table or not?
It is. It is.
Tell Cutie Santino to put out a special on YouTube. Please ask him if he has anything to do with the shortage of oat milk in Australian cafes.
That I do.
Please ask Cheeto how he felt about having his orange hair dyed black on an episode of Dave last season.
You know.
Which, by the way, incredible show. You're incredible on it.
Thanks.
It's one of many accolades that you have chopped up over the years. Let's just go through a few. Mixology, The Office, Arrested Development.
Go on.
The League, Curb.
The League,
You
Curb,
were probably the...
The Office.
The Office. Curb is my favorite show of all time.
Me too.
You were so good on it.
You were great too. You were on The Curb as well. Why are we passing over this?
For
we're
sure.
We're going to suck each other's dicks.
A real treat. Was that as big a deal for you as it was for me?
It was, but I guess I didn't know that Larry David was Jewish, and that bothered the shit out of me when I found out.
Yeah.
I just had no idea.
And he plays the harp.
And once I knew that he was Jewish, it just kind of fucked up the whole experience for me.
Slowly zoom in on Santino while he says this.
You know, at first I thought, here's a comedy hero of mine. Here's someone I love. Here's someone that I respect, that I think is a brilliant mind and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy goes and is Jewish?
Shows us his circumcised penis.
Yuck. It was a huge deal, actually.
Right?
It was the biggest deal.
Did you get blown up by a lot of people like, holy shit, I can't believe you're on this, right? It's one of those shows. Yeah.
Yeah. But the most off-camera biggest deal for me was making Julia Louis-Dreyfus laugh a few times. That was big for me.
No way.
I made her break like 3 times in the room. I made Larry break in my audition.
Yeah, me too.
And live, which was good. But I made Julia crack because I had gone out for Veep for no less than 17 times. And they really like you. And it was only producer sessions. So it was like, why are we doing this? You know who I am now.
Yeah, just give it to me at this point. Or don't.
He was really picky, that Armando Iannucci guy. He was a genius. That show was fucking incredible. But I never got on this show. But
you made her chuckle in the room.
She broke like 3 times. We had to improv a scene that I was a janitor coming down to tell them that like impending doom was happening upstairs with the pipes. And that was kind of the scenario they gave us and they told us to improv.
Yeah.
I say us, like it was my agents and managers were there like, you're gonna do great, just standing in the background. But they told me to improv and then I did this whole scene about how a poop pipe had broken. And yes. She's like, is that the proper, that's the terminology? I'm like, we call them poop pipes. I actually have never talked to a regular person about what they call them. But I went down this whole line and she was so good at improv. She's so fucking smart.
I bet.
She was like, well, who, like, how did it break? Like, whom is to be responsible?
Just dialed in.
Right, and who's to be responsible was her way of giving me a home run to hit.
Yep.
Like basically me being like,
hey, give me more info on this fun little thing you've just created.
Also, she gave me the home run, which is, it's me. I broke the poop mm-hmm. pipe. It's me with the poop pipe mm-hmm. breaker. I came down as the authority to tell you something happened.
Yes.
Whose problem is it? It's like, it's my poop. My poop's in the poop pipe. So it was great. It was just, she gave me like a home run to deliver to, it's like, she gave me a thing to make her laugh.
It's incredible.
She's brilliant. Yeah. But I did it. I made her crack up a bunch. And I did think, I called my old lady on the way home and I was like, there's no way I didn't get that. Like this time I had to have gotten.
You feel that sometimes, huh?
Well, with Curb, I knew, I mean, that was a fucking, yeah. Almost every role I've ever gotten where I had to go like prove myself, which is all the ones, I literally always am like, that's mine.
What do you
Nobody
think?
Nobody was going to beat me at whatever I did in that.
Is that moment. Because of your sheer confidence going in and you just know what you're bringing to it? Or do you have
the
like-
result. It's the result. I have the confidence, but I mean, if I did well, I always know. Anything I've ever booked, if I did well, I knew right as I got in my car, I was like, they're definitely giving that to me.
How so? From the response they give you? From the way you
I
feel?
Felt about it. Yeah. Just because I know. If you know, you know. You're like, that's mine. Who else is they going to give that to now?
And for those younger actors listening, do you chop it up when you go into the room or you just try to be all business? Do you just feel it out? You read the room?
I haven't been in a room now
we'll say
in
you're zooming something.
5 years.
Or you're doing a general or any sort of meetup before you're involved in the project.
I mean, you know me. I always like, yeah, I'm the first one to... I'm not good at hiding it, though. I will say, like, my poker face is bad. Like, Melissa McCarthy and Ben...
Falcone.
Were reading for this movie that they were doing. I don't even remember which one it was, but it was a long time ago. And I remember going to the, it was at Warner Brothers, and I was in such a bad mood. I was in a very Santino time. And
great title for some sort of
I was
fucking,
in a very Santino time.
I don't know if that's like your tough crowd or whatever.
Well, dude, I walked in and she was sitting there and so was he and someone else and a producer and you know, some fucking idiot, some other idiots in there that's like, how's it going, man? And I just took one look at this guy and I was like, it's fucking
he owes me money.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew he owes me money.
Yeah.
So I should have gone. But I was in a bummer mood. I couldn't hide it. I had been annoyed. I was like, well, I just came from Santa Monica.
Oh, God.
It took me 6 hours to fucking get here and there's no parking. No. I went for it.
Oh, we'll just start the scene then.
Start the fucking scene.
Sure. Actually, no, I think we're good, actually. I think
I
think we got everything we needed.
Did
and the camera's not on. We did get it. Yeah, that's going to be all. Thank you.
And I chugged my liquid death and I'm like, I spit it. No, but I buried myself a few times like that just because I couldn't hide my emotions. Where I was in a bad mood and I was like, man, I'm fucking bummed.
Did you get mad at yourself on the way back driving
home? No, I let it go. It's gone. It's over. I knew it was over. The moment I start bitching or the moment I'm just not into the role, I already let it go. You know? I tested for It, the Skarsgård brother one.
Wow. For the clown?
And I knew I didn't have it. Yeah, because on the car ride over, my fucking agent was like, I don't know why we're talking so much Hollywood stuff.
Are you kidding me? This is great.
But my agent was like...
I know that
like,
you never talk about this
My
stuff.
Agent was like, they really want to go with a big name. And I was like, great chat! I wanted to fucking crash my car. Like, thanks, dude. That's gonna... that's the boost I need before I go into the fucking room. But they told me to be really animated, and I did, and I really did play it up. That was probably one of the first auditions where I like physically got on the floor, and I was really.
Will you commit one thing that you
really being Pennywise? Yeah, yeah. But and they loved it.
Wow.
And the response was amazing. They were super cool about it. They were like, dude, you fucking crushed.
Can you fucking imagine if you were Pennywise?
Would have been cool. It would have been great to give it to somebody because you can't see what his fucking face looks like anyway. We casted a Skarsgård. Why? It could have been fucking any weirdo. All psychos.
Yeah.
I like the idea. They're like, he really got immersed in the character. You're like, we're all insane. Will Smith smacked the guy. Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah. We're all nuts.
Yeah.
Every act that... I don't even want to talk about that bullshit slap thing,
yeah.
But it's proof to me that I've been saying this for years. You check the tape. Any actor that gets lost in the role is a fucking mentally unwell person.
Looking for Cocoa Puffs to begin
with.
Yeah,
man, cut it out. I hate when we do this thing. We reward all these people for being like, he's so embedded in the role. He's lost himself. It's like losing yourself isn't a good thing.
No.
That's scary.
Hank says he never does that. Hank says like, I'm fucking in it. And then when you call cut, hey, man. Hey,
go home.
I'm Woody.
Be Tom Hanks again.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Why this? There's this pride in like, oh, dude, you don't get it.
He's a character actor.
He's in character.
Danny DeVito was the Penguin from March until July.
Just
and,
eating raw fish all day.
Oh, like, it was, and we loved it.
And never once on any of those films does anybody, other than Lincoln, what's that fucking goofball's name? That brilliant, amazing goofball.
Daniel Day-Lewis,
who's like the greatest actor of our... I said goofball. Oh, how diminutive. Yeah. What's that goofball's name? No, he's incredible. I'm
joking. We love you, Daniel. Come on the podcast.
Yeah, right. He's like, what's a podcast?
Podcast.
Yeah. He's in the woods now. He's chewing a tree. But I think like beyond him, truly, everybody else that does that I'm in character thing can fuck off. Mm. You can fuck off.
Mm.
Because if you were really talented, you could turn it on and turn it off.
Love
how about that?
How about
if you were that fucking good,
You
could snap in and you could snap out. Yeah. Then you would be a fucking genius to me.
Because how do you compartmentalize those two worlds?
Yeah, you're not a genius if you need to live in a different time period in your mind. You're a sad person. You have mental health issues. That's not okay. Something's not going right. If your brain goes to like, I have to wear twine shoes all month, you're like, well, you're fucking sick. You're sick because it's 2022. Grow up. Snapping in that it's like saying LeBron always needs to be an athlete when he's not playing basketball. It's like, dude, what the fuck? These guys want to be people.
Yes.
When the job is done, you want to be able to disconnect.
And then at the end of the day, it's just a job.
It's a job. It's the same thing as being a comedian. They're like, you're not that funny for a comedian. You're like, because I'm ordering a taco. I want to eat a taco and go home. I like food.
Yeah, but dude, there's like bits. Like, look at the menu. Look how weird the menu is. You can't make fun of it.
How they spell chorizo?
Yeah,
dude.
You can't make. Dude, there's something there, dude. You can't. All right,
right. Not to discredit actors who take their fucking job seriously.
Of course, yes.
I'm just saying. I never agreed with this idea that's like, we have to let him do this because he's in care. It's like, no, you don't.
Right.
You can tell him, hey, Mike. Cut it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's 80 other people here that are doing a job.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put up with your phony bullshit because that guy has to build stuff today and she's got to move stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's fucking cut it out. We're already kids that get to play in a candy store being in the world of entertainment. It's like, you don't need to also get diabetes. We eat the candy. You don't need to get them so fat and swollen on love and appreciation. And that is the amalgamation of all this is what happened with Will Smith. Is he just got to a place where like he lived in this silent world of chaos and he lost himself.
Yeah.
And then he thought he was Richard, what's his name from the fucking movie?
Oh yeah. Richard.
Williams.
Jenny? No, Jenkins.
Venus and Serena Williams
is Richard,
dad.
The dad, yeah.
William, whatever. King Richard.
Richard Williams, yeah.
I just think that's what happens when you lose yourself in these emotions, in these moments, in these roles. You become not you. And he's got a whole host of things going on that I can't count. I don't fucking know him.
Yeah. Have you ever felt compelled to slap anyone? All right, we're going to wrap this up. I do want to know real quick before I get into the last part. What was the first, and I've never asked you this, and I wanted to ask you this as I was driving over.
Yeah.
What was the first thing out here? Because again, you have.
Am I sweating?
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay, I was like, am I fucking losing
I'm
my
I'm sweating
mind?
Too, yeah.
Okay. What was the first thing? Sorry, I cut you off.
No. Bad Friends Podcast.
Whiskey Ginger Podcast.
You've been on everybody's podcast. TV, stand-up. We've talked about this. Like, you're in a good place. You feel good. A lot of stuff, a lot of boxes.
Life's okay.
Have been checked to where you can like have the hang time now and enjoy stuff. What was the, out of all that, what was the thing, and I think everybody is always curious what that thing is to you that, that made you feel like I'm in the game now and I'm supposed to be here? Or have you not ever felt that? Was there something for you that was validating, I guess? And it could be an actual achievement or a conversation you had with someone or into a festival, you know? Like,
I think it's a bunch of small moments.
Okay.
It's like little moments like Jeff Schaefer, who's the EP of Dave, who also was
Curb, the league
and Curb.
A wizard.
I think when somebody that I respect gives me minimal love, I take it and run with it. Like when it's like...
Minimal love.
Something tiny. When it's something like, oh, that was so good.
Gotcha.
I don't need like high praise. I don't want any of that stuff. Like I don't like when directors come up, they're like, great stuff. Okay, so this time it bothers me. Just tell me what you want me to do the next version. I don't need to be rewarded. But when someone I super respect gives me like a little nugget or I hear them say a thing, that I run with. And that's over the years, if that happens, like making Julia crack, making Larry crack, you know, landing a role on a thing, doing that, this movie I did with Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg, making those guys laugh.
Wow.
And like giving that those things, it's just little tidbits. But I've never felt like it's like, this is it.
Yeah.
I'm off to the races. I mean,
because it's not.
Well, no, because my career is good right now, but it's certainly a roller coaster. And so like, you know, I hope that I keep having those little moments.
Yeah.
Because in the middle, there's a lot of shitty moments. People don't know. There's so much fucking bullshit in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But there wasn't one massive moment. I've actually said this before, but there was one moment where I knew that this was what I was going to do for the rest of my life was when I climbed on, and I just did this on a podcast. I just talked about this, but I climbed on Jimmy Kimmel's desk and I got tased. When we were running a promo for Punk'd with Justin Bieber.
We talked about it. You and I talked about it on your Whiskey Ginger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was probably a moment where like I did think like, oh man, this is definitely what I'm supposed to do, is be a fucking comedic presence. I don't even know what it meant.
Because you impressed and made laugh three of the biggest people in the business.
It was just, it was so fun. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is fun. If I'm gonna get paid to do this is gonna be the rest of my life. And even if they stop paying me, you start showing up to stuff.
How about on the flip side? Was there?
They're filming in my neighborhood right now. I think about just jumping over there and be like, "What's going on? You got a role for me?"
What are they filming?
I don't know, but it's a bunch of like really good looking like young people.
Some CW show,
probably like Euphoria or something. Does that even shoot here? Does that shoot in LA? I have no idea.
Probably.
I haven't seen it yet because it's just too much.
How about on the flip side with the folks and the family? How about the thing that all them where they were like, "Wow."
Well, they've never said wow. My parents have always said ow. You know,
you're hurting the family name.
Yeah.
Another ding.
You know, like anything. I'm like, you know, I'm on this show on, you know, NBC, and they're like, ow, that's that's gonna be tough for us to handle. No, they've always been supportive, but my parents have
just
never,
not impressed by it. Because there's some parents and families that are just like, cool.
Yeah, no, they are like that. They're very like, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, my sister's
like. I think like scale wise, you know, playing the Chicago Theater. This past February,
that was a biggie.
Yeah, scale wise, it was very much to my friends or family back home, like, see? You know what I mean? Well, because for years, you're like, they know.
Yeah.
My parents know. But yeah. Like, family member, like uncles or aunts or cousins or whatever, like, they're all, as supportive as they are.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, you still doing your comedy thing, touring? And you're like, you bet, you know. And then when they see, you know, 3,000 plus people come to see you, it's not a I told you so, but it's a this is what I made.
Hey.
It's almost like if someone was like, oh, are you you're a painter, Picasso? You like painting? And he's like, this?
Yeah, I cut off my fucking ear, man.
Yeah, it's like showing someone. Yeah. It's like when they see scale, they can finally go, oh.
Gotcha.
That's all. But they always have been like, fucking awesome, man. Keep grinding. I mean, my parents are never like, you know, I don't know. My parents have never been like into the Hollywood thing anyway.
So keep it neutral.
Yeah, there's no way. They're not like, you know who I really want to meet? Can you introduce us? They're never like that.
Cool.
Like me and my dad saw Tom Selleck at the airport when we were going to North Carolina one
time. That's
cool. And he was fucking amped. My dad was like, Tom Selleck.
It's Mr. Baseball over there.
He was like, dude. Like, he was like, blew his mind. He was like, Tom Selleck.
That guy raised a kid with two other guys.
Yeah, and there was nothing gay about that. How come they don't make that kind of stuff today? But no, there was no real moment. Right. But I can tell you there was one career moment for me. And it was doing the About Last Night podcast for the first time. And when I did that podcast, I knew you were going to be all right, Adam Ray. You're going to be all right.
Is Bobby
Stop
really
it there? Just leave it at that.
One more fan question.
Fine.
Is Bobby really Korean or is it a character?
This is a controversial topic that a lot of people have asked me before, if he is actually Korean.
That was a joke. That was a joke question that I wrote.
He's not Korean.
I knew it.
He's not.
He's?
You want him to tell you? Because this is actually a serious conversation. We talked about this the other day. He's not Korean. Or not anymore, not after the accident at least.
What?
Let's see what he says.
Oh, this let's is if he, an let's, ALN exclusive.
Let's see if he's man enough.
To pick up his fucking phone. I picked up when he called me on Bad Friends.
Well, he should be awake at 7 p.m. That is... One, thanks.
Three. Wow, sensitive.
Oop. We gave a piece of the phone number. But make sure you blank
We'll bleep that out, yeah. All right, let's wrap this up.
He's Japanese.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
I'm by it.
He's from Kyoto, Japan, off the boat. But he's managed to lose the accent, which is incredible.
You're good at accents.
You want me to do an Asian accent?
All right, we're going to wrap this up with a 10-question, quick, get-to-know Andrew Santino questionnaire.
Love it.
From inside the actor studio. R.I.P. James Lipton, you no doubt would have been on the show.
Love it.
I'm going to play James and get to know Santino here to close this episode out, a very special episode with Cheeto Santino on Instagram and Twitter. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm here with Andrew Santino. Andrew, what is your favorite word?
Cacophony.
What does it mean?
It's like, have you ever been to a funeral?
Yes.
And that's what they're called. That's what they get buried in.
I thought it was a coffin.
Well, it's a cacophony. I mean, it depends on if you have a stutter or not, but I don't want to be belittled for my speech impediment, but it's a cacophony. Cacophony is a shoe brand. It's an off branch of Saucony. Cacophony is it's
for real?
Their elderly brand. Yeah.
I love Cacophony. That. What is your least favorite word?
Adam. My least favorite word, Adam, is that's what I'm saying. You didn't let me it was a pause. There's a fucking comma there. My least favorite word is that's tough. Least favorite word on earth has to be.
Could be like a word that, you know, exudes negativity or, you know.
Good.
The word good?
With that inflection. Because it's not true.
How are you? Good.
No, you're not. No one's. Good is bullshit. Good is not real. What's good?
You think you're shitty or you're awesome?
But what's good? Tell me what's good. Good is closer to bad than it is to great.
I feel like toucan.
If it's bad and great, good is on the sliding scale way closer to bad. Yeah. Ready? Oh, that taco place, it's good. Oh, so it's not that. So it's not that good.
No, it's good.
Oh, so it's shitty.
No. I need to tell you four different times. I need to do different variations of tonal.
Good is a shitty word. Good's fake. Good is not real.
Wow.
How are your parents? They're good. Is everything okay?
So they're dead.
Yeah, they're dead. Yeah, it was a murder-suicide. It's not good. It's not good. Yeah, good is negative.
I love you for that.
Good's bullshit. Good is a bullshit word.
Be excellent or is okay in the same family?
Okay is the same word.
I'm okay.
Okay means good.
Okay.
Yeah, when somebody, how are you? Good. I'll answer it the exact same way with two different words. Hey. Ask me how I am.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm okay. Ask me again now how I am.
How are you?
I'm good. It's the exact same word. Okay means good. That's why it's closer to shit.
Right.
Because okay might as well be shit.
Yeah. Now, why do we do that?
How's that bar? It's okay. So it's shit. I don't want to go.
So I should go?
No. How's that restaurant? It's okay. How was that fucking vacation? It was okay. So it was shit.
We deal with okay, though. We accept okay.
Because life is too hard for everything to be perfect. So we have to accept the medium a lot more than normal.
How many people in your life have you met this?
Seven.
Have you met when you've asked me how I am? Have you met with this?
How are you, man?
Excellent.
Ugh, gross.
You hate that guy.
Yeah.
Now, is he excellent?
I imagine Tom Cruise only says excellent. How are you? He's like, excellent. And you're like, you eat people. You've eaten people before.
Or he also says this. Ready? Ask me. I'm Tom Cruise. Ready?
Hey, Tom. How are you, man?
Tremendous.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Fuck you, Tom. Get out of here.
Come on. Let me eat your knee.
He got it. No, yeah, I don't trust it. All right, go.
What turns you on?
Huh?
What turns you on?
What turns Andrew Santino on?
Mm-hmm.
Sexually?
Doesn't either or. Or just, you know, people have said sense of humor. People have said, you know, chivalry.
When the moment that the sun...
I like this.
The moment that the sun gets to a height level...
Yes.
Right before it ducks behind the horizon or the trees, if I'm specifically being what turn at my home when it gets at my back of my house, right when it gets to the back of the trees there, and it right before it disappears, that makes me feel something.
Makes feel good.
I don't know what it even is. I feel it every time.
Makes feel good.
And I love sunsets. I do. I watch them all the time. I'm dead serious. I really like to watch the sun go down. I don't know why.
I love that.
It's like the sun going down on me. Boom, boom, boom. I don't know why I like to watch the sun slowly say goodnight.
Cause that's
fucking
beautiful,
man.
Because
the moon is mischievous. The moon is like, what do we want to get into? The moon is your bad boyfriend.
It is.
And the sun is just like this ray of protection. The sun is like your mom and dad.
Yes.
And it's like everything is okay.
A big warm hug. I got you. It's light out.
The sun goes away. The sun is like, you'll be good now. And the moon is like,
I've got a coupon for a glory hole.
How many singles do you have? To the titty bar. Yeah, the moon is a bad boy. The sun is a good boy.
What turns you off? That was an amazing answer.
What turns me off?
Yeah.
God. I'm going to be honest when I say this because I went to the Long Beach Grand Prix the other day. Unhygienic, smelly people. I don't need you to smell like cologne or perfume, but if I can smell you, if you a stinky stinky, if you're a stinky pinky, not a fan. Big time no. Get out of here. You're in public. I don't need you to smell good, dude. You could just be a person that lives. Yeah. But when you're a stinky person, there's no way you don't know you're the stinky stink.
You don't need a scent, ugh. But you can't have a scent.
Be scentless. Be scentless.
Be senseless.
No, well, no, be mindful that you might smell.
Yeah, there it is.
Be mindful about your scentlessness.
What sound or noise do you love?
Yeah. What sound or noise do I love? Honestly, cornball answer.
Yeah.
The neutral rumbling of a really good engine. The neutral rumbling of my car, or not just my car, but a car.
Yeah.
The neutral rumbling, just I love it. The sound of a boat. You know when a boat is at harbor? And
yes, I love that.
Man, do I love that shit.
Chugging along, getting revved up.
Just neutraling, just sitting there, blah 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 blah. Because it's what it's doing, what it's saying. It's like
those were all my lines in the fifth grade play.
They're like, thank you, Adam Ray. Killed it.
I was in the background. I was a tree.
Oh,
I wasn't supposed to talk.
Bobby trees. I love the neutral rumbling.
I love
of
that.
The engine. Yeah.
I like the smell of boat gas.
Yeah, we know. That's why one eye is higher than the other one.
What are you talking about?
No big deal. Keep going.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Yippy dogs.
Oh yeah.
The sound of a yip really bothers the fucking shit out of me.
Too much.
It's just like, oh my God.
I was just telling a buddy this. Paul Giamatti did that to me on the street in New York once. He was crossing the street with his head down, doing the blah, blah, blah. He was just muttering to himself. And I go, no way, Paul Giamatti. He turns around and goes,
you're like, sorry, man. Those are my two favorite sounds. So thank you, Paul Giamatti.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
To attempt?
Yeah.
I mean, it's out, without of reason. Like, it's out. It's without of the question. You're just saying, like, hypothetically.
Yeah, what profession other than...
I in my dreams, I wish I was a pro golfer. In my dreams. Because I think it's the greatest. You can play it till you're dead. You're literally dead. Like, you're dead.
Yeah.
You can fuck... You're, like, there's, like, 90-year-olds that are like... I mean, it's so beautiful. And also, you get to travel the fucking world.
Courses everywhere.
Yeah, and there's something beautiful about walking in nature. That's why when friends hate golf, I'm always like, what do you... It's outside with friends, and you get to see beautiful places.
Yeah.
But to travel the country and or the world, like on the European tour and stuff like that, or like, you know, I know a young man that's in... he's going to Dubai for the Dubai, like a tournament out there. And like, to travel the world and walk these beautiful landscape, magical things.
Yeah.
And also, if you win, you become so ungodly rich. There's a picture they put up about, because the Masters were just happening, all those guys have private jets, you know, they fly in and out on private jets.
Yeah.
And the line for jets, it was like 70 private jets. It was insane. You're like, there is no sports team or a group of athletes that could ever have that kind of financial windfall. None of them. Not every basketball or baseball player has that kind of money to just private jet in and out to places. Some of them do, but the rest of them are like, I got to save. Some of this money is going to go away.
Wow.
But dude, in golf, you know, like fucking Scottie Scheffler just won. I think the Masters payout for number one was maybe 2 million. I mean, second place was like 1.6 million.
Oh my God.
1.6. So you made 400 grand a day for 4 days of golf.
Why don't you do some sort of comedy golf documentary where you go around the world?
Because golf's not funny, Adam.
It's hilarious.
You know what? There's a guy named Graham Bessinger who owns the spot of like athlete things. There's a bunch of different comedy groups that are out there.
Yeah.
Our buddy Jay Larson worked on a bunch of different. There's stuff that's out and about.
But the same way Will Ferrell did that, like playing for every spring training team in one day.
Awesome.
Like, is there a comedy golf?
I think the problem is golf is such a
just travel the world, play the course, and then do a show in that city all around the world. I don't know.
That I would love.
At the I mean, that's, you know, as simple as you could do it.
That I would love. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, one day, but golf, pro golf.
Pro golf.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Stand-up comedy.
Okay. If heaven exists, Andrew Santino, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I should have made it bigger.
Good. Good night, everybody.
Have a good week. I was gonna say I'm sorry I didn't make it bigger. I'm sorry I didn't make it bigger.